I want us to consider today some real answers to life's troubles. We find the Lord Jesus Christ here comforting the hearts of the disciples. The disciples were greatly troubled because of the things that Christ had been telling them, the things he revealed to them. We read of some of those things in chapter 13, and we remember what Christ has been showing them. He has said very clearly that one of their own band would betray the Lord, the Savior. Of course, that is a reference to Judas. One of you shall betray me. And then he speaks of one who would deny the Lord. We were reading there in our portion about Peter denying the Lord. And we know what happened in the case of Peter. And then probably the most troubling thing that disturbed the disciples, that really perplexed them, that came as a shock to them, was the fact that Christ was going to leave them. I must go away. Christ has been saying in the previous chapter, I must leave you. Verse 33, he says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, I'm going away. You can't come with me at this time. I will leave you. And so this really troubled the hearts of the disciples. And the Lord Jesus shares with them here some reasons in chapter 14 why he had to leave them. He went ahead, he went before to prepare an eternal abiding place for them. He is making that place ready. He wanted them to know the Father in a greater way. He says, I will leave you, but you shall seek the Father. And he will answer your prayer. On top of that, there would be the coming of the Spirit. Another comforter, one just like Christ, one who would continue on the work of Christ, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who would come to minister to them. And he would speak peace to their hearts. Christ said that he would leave them. He would not leave them comfortless. He would come to them. He would send the Spirit. And he would leave them that legacy of peace there in John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But their hearts were troubled. With all these revelations, they were sad, they were confused, they didn't know what was going to become of them, what was going to become of their work, and their hearts were troubled. Christ is telling them, you're going to face difficulties. Difficulties lie ahead. One will betray me. One of you will deny me. Dangers will surround you. And Christ has said he's going to leave them. He would die on the cross. Hours later, imminent death was before them. And yet, despite all these things, the things that troubled their hearts, Jesus wanted them to understand a few things. He said, my purposes will not be hindered. God's purposes in the world will not be hindered. I will send you forth in my name. You have a work to do. My work will continue. Oh, there will be times when the work appears to be defeated and weak. There will be times when you will have to stand alone. There will be times when others will leave you and betray you. There will be those who will deny you, those who will deny the Savior, those who will deny the faith. There will be such times. And you still find those times, even in the life of the church. Sometimes we need to stand alone. Sometimes we are weak and faint. But Christ wants us to understand that he will build his church. His purposes will not be hindered. He was sending them forth in his name. He would not leave them comfortless. They would not be alone. It's a comforting word to the children of God. We are not alone. We have the Spirit of Christ who dwells in us. He would work in them and through them. He would be with them. And he's going to prepare a place for them. And there were solid reasons here why they should not fear. There's no reason to fear. And that's why the Lord begins in chapter 14. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Continue to trust me. Christ would establish them. He would strengthen them. He would continue their work. Believe in God. Trust in me. And the God in whom you trust, He hears your prayers. He knows your heart. He knows your needs. He will answer your prayers. He will be with you and He will support you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The God in whom you trust hears and He will answer your prayers. So let not your hearts be troubled. The Lord is saying to them here, don't be anxious. In fact, this is a command. Stop being troubled. Do not be anxious and troubled any longer. Don't lose heart. Do not lose courage. Do not faint under these pressures. You have a work to do now and a glorious future hereafter. Let not your heart be troubled. And you notice here, Christ comforts troubled disciples. And I want us to think of how the Lord does that today. Christ comforts their hearts by answering their questions. You will notice the questions here that the disciples pose. They present their questions, their troubles to the Lord, and the Lord comes to answer their questions. I think this is an instructive passage for us today. We find ourselves troubled, perplexed perhaps by the events of this week, the things we have heard and the things we see. Where do we go for comfort? How can we know peace and joy in a world of sorrow and strife? How can we find comfort in the face of such things? How do we deal with all this suffering in the world and the problem of pain? Christ is the answer. And Christ answers their questions here. Jesus Christ the Lord has the answers to the most perplexing questions of life. The hearts of these disciples were filled with sadness. They were troubled. They had many questions for which they sought answers. Look at some of these questions with me. You find Simon Peter, first of all, in chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered, "Whither I go, thou canst not now follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter." Lord, whither goest thou? The Lord had said He's going to leave them, but where is He going? Where are you going, Lord? And then you have Thomas in chapter 14. He comes with a question here. Thomas saith unto him in verse 5, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And then Philip makes this appeal, "Show us the Father," verse 8. "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." "Have I been so long time with you? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father?" And then you have Judas there in verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, saith unto him, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" So there are all these questions. Lord, whither goest thou? Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? These were their questions. Disciples. We too have many questions for which we need answers. Even believers, disciples, have many questions. And we find ourselves seriously reflecting upon life at times, upon its meaning and its purpose. And sometimes we are puzzled, we are confused. We have many questions for which we need answers? Where do we find answers? Life doesn't always make sense. There are the peaks and the valleys, the ups and the downs, the days of joy, the days of sorrow, the days of blessing, prosperity, the days of adversity, the days of severe trial. Life doesn't always make sense. Sometimes we do not understand what is happening. Just like these disciples. Christ said to them, chapter 13, verse 7, "What I do now, thou knowest not." You don't understand, but you will one day. You will understand hereafter. And yet from our perspective, life doesn't always make sense. And I want to analyze these questions and just take a look at these questions today. And if you look at them carefully, you will discover that they are the same questions men still ask today. The very same questions that trouble humanity. They still seek answers to these questions. They're questions that pertain to life, to death, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the end of days. Questions we all ask sometimes. Where are we going? Why are we here? What is life really all about? Whither goest thou? How can we know the way? Show us the Father. Is there a God? Can we know God? What is God doing? Profound questions. As you look at those questions of the disciples, you could sum them up in that way. Questions that pertain to life. Why are we here? Where are we going? What is God doing? How can we know God? Christ has the answers to life's most perplexing questions. Jesus Christ has trustworthy answers, substantial answers, real answers to the things that trouble us. He doesn't just pat us on the back and say, "Don't worry, everything will be okay." The Lord gives us real answers, real reasons why we can trust Him, why we can know that comfort, that peace, that joy. He says, "My peace, my joy, my comfort I give unto you." Read through these chapters and you will find that Christ has the answers. He gives us real answers that our hearts might be comforted knowing His peace. And so we're to look to Him. God's Word has the answers that we need. The Word of truth. The Word of a living God is the ground of our assurance. Christ is that Word. The Word incarnate. And if you want answers to your questions, where do you go today? You need to turn to Christ. You need to turn to His Word. Look to the Word of God, His truth. Jesus says here in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In other words, the way to life is through a knowledge of the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We go to the Word as disciples, as believers, we go to God's Word. Knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's from the mouth of God. It's God breathed. And we find there comfort. That which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That we would be furnished. That we would mature. That we would have understanding. The Lord comforts us in His Word. The world has no real answer to man's struggles. No answer to satisfy the soul. These are spiritual questions that relate to eternal matters. And spiritual questions demand spiritual answers. But the world has no answer to man's troubles. Spiritual answers cannot be deduced by human reason alone, by logic, by rationale. Because natural man understands not the things of God. He doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. That's what the Lord says here in verse 17. He was going to send the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot find truth in the spiritual realm. Why? Because he's dead in trespasses and in sin. But it is the Word of God that quickens, that calls to life. We are born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible. There is the regeneration of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And the Word of God is quick and powerful, calling life to dead sinners, giving life to the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And what does this mean? It means very simply that natural man, dead in his trespasses and in sin, cannot find the answers that he's looking for in the world, in things, in attainments, in his achievements. There's still a void in his soul. There's a longing there. There's a striving to know, and yet he cannot find the answers. All the speculative theories and philosophies of men fall short because they leave men with nothing absolute, nothing certain. A man has solved many problems, many riddles, many complex things in various fields, in science, medicine, mathematics, space travel, the computer age. And yet, for all their achievements, all their attainments, even the meaning of life eludes the brilliant. They're always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of a truth, because human wisdom in itself is blind and unable to perceive the things of God. Men are looking for answers, but they're looking in all the wrong places, trying all the wrong things. True answers, real answers in troubles, it's found in Christ. Christ has the answer. His Word has the answers. All flesh is as grass, Peter tells us, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The transforming, life-giving power of the gospel. And that's why the Word of God is so vitally important to the disciple, to the Christian. It gives us the answers we seek, the answers we need. It is God's full and final revelation to man. God has said all He needs to say, all He's going to say, in and through His Word. If we want to know the way to God, to know the meaning of life, to know God, we're to come to His Word. That revelation that He has given to us. Christ, the incarnate Word, answers the disciples' questions here. Christ communicates God's truth. He reveals God's grace. He reveals God's glory. He is full of grace and truth. And He grants peace to troubled hearts. A peace not like the world's peace. The peace of this world, Christ said, is shallow. It's temporary. It's fleeting. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. And then there's a looking around again for something more. A craving for something to satisfy. And they don't have answers. Still not satisfied. But the peace of Christ is an abiding peace. A satisfying peace. An eternal peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ has the answers. Christ comforts his disciples. He comforts his disciples by answering the questions. Christ is the answer. But I want you to notice here, as we look at these questions again, you will notice how each disciple addresses Jesus. Look at verse 36. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Thomas in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Peter, or Philip in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. Judas, verse 22, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? You look at those questions, and you see how they addressed Jesus Christ as Lord, as Master, as Sovereign. They are humbling themselves before Him. They are acknowledging their ignorance. They're acknowledging their need for answers. And they're acknowledging the one who has the answers. Lord, how is it? And you know, it's only when we are done with self, when we come to our wits' end, isn't that the case? It's only when we come to an end of ourselves and we come to wits' end and we say, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are towards Thee, Lord. There's that acknowledging of Jesus Christ as Lord and Sovereign. And only as we acknowledge Christ as our own Master and Lord, bowing humbly before Him, inquiring as to the right way, the true way of life, show us the way, Lord. How can we know? When we do that, when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due time. We acknowledge He alone has the answers. And as we seek Him, as we come to Him, as we inquire after Him, He reveals Himself to us. He gives us and supplies us with the answers that we need. We come humbly then. But the word that we receive, that word must be mixed with faith if we are to profit. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 1 and 2 says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, it says there in verse 12, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But that Word that comes to us, the Word preached, the answers that Christ gives, must be mixed with faith if we are to profit. And that's one of the key thoughts in John chapter 14. What is the word that comes to His disciples? The Lord says, believe. Believe me. Believest thou not? Look at verse 1. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I am God, He's saying. Believe me as you would believe in God. Believe in me, for I am God. Let not your heart be troubled. In verse 10, the Lord says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? There's this oneness in essence with the Father. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The works that Christ did were a testimony to who He was, to His deity, His creative power, His glory. He is God manifest in the flesh. His words and His works reveal that. And He's saying to His disciples, believe me, I am God. And that word appears again in verse 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. And again in verse 29, that final word. And I have told you these things, that when it comes to pass, when it come to pass, ye might believe. Here is Christ foretelling what is going to take place. One will betray me. One of you will deny me. I'm going to die on the cross. I will leave you. And I tell you all this now because when it comes to pass, you will believe, you will understand, you will know who I am. Believe me. The word must be mixed with faith. We need to trust and to rest in our God. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you need answers today? Is there some problem in your life and you don't know what the solution is? You just don't know what way to go, what the answer is, and you're acknowledging your ignorance. You know, these disciples, they were ignorant. Their ideals were turned upside down. Lord, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to come and set up your kingdom on earth. And now you're saying you're going to leave? Things were not as they should be. And they were disturbed. They were ignorant of the Lord's ways, of the Lord's plan, of the Lord's purpose. They were perplexed, troubled in heart, confused. And they protest. We do not know the way. They didn't understand the Lord's leading. The Lord was saying that there were trials awaiting them, trials ahead for them, danger around the corner. In fact, imminent death. Christ was going to be crucified. And all these things troubled them. And you know, when we consider our ways, when we reflect upon life, and we think of how frail life is, how fragile life is, the brevity of life, we're reminded of it this week. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, things can change. And our world can be turned upside down. And we don't know what to do. And what about when we come to the end of days and we face death? In the face of imminent death, their minds here were turned to eternal things. Christ purposely turns them to a consideration of eternal matters, that eternal abiding place that He would go to prepare for them. And so He turns them from things on the earthly level to things on the heavenly level, the heavenly realm, eternal things. The answers really speak to eternal things. The answers address the needs of the soul. Where are we going? Why are we here? How do we get there? How can we know God? Eternal matters. And friend, when you come to die, when you face death, what is it that will give your heart peace? Where will you be for eternity? These are the things that really occupy the thoughts of men when they come near death, when they're facing death. Because God has set eternity in your hearts. It's the way God has made us. We know that there is life beyond the grave. We know there is life after death. This life is to be a time of preparation for eternity. And what is it that will give your heart peace when you face death? How can you know God? How can you know His peace in your soul? Well, very simply, you begin by knowing Jesus Christ, who has the answer to all life's most perplexing questions. We begin by knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. We are made right, being rightly related to God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the sin problem. That's the answer to the struggles of life. That's the answer to a guilty conscience. The burdens that weigh us down, Christ is the answer. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we understand that there really is no hope for humanity, for eternity, apart from Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 3 reads, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." To know the Lord Jesus is to have peace. And the way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And believer, today, that truth, that doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, is an encouragement, is a comfort to you. In the hour of darkness, it's a comfort to you in an hour of discouragement. When you're down on yourself and your soul is disquieted within you, and you're troubled, the discouraging hours of darkness, the darkness of your own sinfulness, the darkness of your own imperfection. And yet, when you think upon that truth of justification, that you have a perfect righteousness outside yourself, a right standing with God because you belong to Christ, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's comfort in a day of trouble. This momentary affliction, this light affliction, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, is but for a moment. Yet it works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Yes, the outward man is perishing. We faint. And yet the inward man can be renewed day by day. We can have the peace of God in the soul. And heaven is for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those who believe will be brought into that eternal abiding place, Christ says. They will be received by the Father. They will be accepted in the Beloved. That's a comforting truth today. For the people of God, Christ is now preparing a place for us. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." They would be there. Friend, will you be there? Do you have this peace, this assurance in your heart today that you know God, that you belong to Christ, that you're justified, your sins have been blotted out? The way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the children of God have hope, comfort for this life and the life to come. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we have hope not only for this life, but for the life to come. Because now is made manifest the appearing of our Savior, who has abolished death, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And by faith in Christ, we are redeemed. We have His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. We're at home with Christ. We will be at home with Christ. This world is not our home. It's not our abiding place. We're just passing through. We are strangers and pilgrims here. But Christ goes to prepare a place that upon our arrival, there we would be at home with Him. To be at home with Christ for eternity, He must reside in your heart presently. Oh, there's no hope for humanity for eternity apart from Jesus Christ. And to be at home with Christ for eternity, He must reside in your heart by faith presently. You must know Him. Christ must dwell in your hearts. You being rooted and grounded in love, knowing the fullness of God, being made complete in Him. And those in whom the Spirit of God dwells, they belong to Christ. But if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, as we read in Romans 8, ye are none of His. You have no assurance. You have no comfort. You have no peace. And so, friend, today the question comes to you. We've been considering some questions that the disciples needed answers for. Christ has the answers. But here is the question for you. Do you now believe? Do you have this assurance in your heart that you belong to the Lord? Are you born again? Your answer, how you respond to the gospel, will determine your end, where you will spend eternity. And I think of the hymn, that hymn, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? The final verse of that hymn reads, "Turn and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then shall your joyous answer be, saved throughout all eternity. Let not your heart be troubled." There's no need to fear. No need to be anxious. You believe in God. Christ said, "You believe in me. Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, the peace the Savior gives. Peace and joy and strength in a world of uncertainty, a world of trouble, a world of sorrow, a world of violence, a world of strife. We can know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Do you have that peace today? I trust you can say, "I am my beloved's and He is mine. I belong to Jesus. I have a hope now and I have a hope for eternity. I am His and He is mine." Let's bow our heads in prayer.